Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The State of the Union address is one of those reasonable constitutional ideas that has grown into something of a monster. In the Constitution, it says he, the president, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union. That simple statement has become the primetime extravaganza where both houses of Congress, everyone in government, all are in attendance except for one senior official in a bunker somewhere in case somebody takes out the whole party with an attack. Such hyperbolic events tend to diminish in meaning in direct proportion to their ceremony and symbolism, and that's typically the case here. We can expect some proposals tomorrow night and some warnings to an intransigent Congress, but mostly predictable positive spin on what's going on in the country. We're going to take the opposite view. We want to move well beyond our national borders. We think it's a good idea to think from time to time about the state of affairs in the world. That's a good idea. But real things to be concerned about when you're not buying milk and bread or parking your car. That's what the website Edge.com is asking a roundtable of big thinkers this year. They pose an annual question to a group of experts from a variety of fields. And judging from this year's responses, there's plenty to worry about in the state of the universe. Joining us is Lisa Randall, professor of physics at Harvard University and author of the book Knocking on Heaven's Door and the new book Higgs Discovery, The Power of Empty Space. Lisa, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
So over the next 12 months, what do you think is the most important thing that you're concerned about? No positive spin, please.
Well, what I'm concerned about and what's most important aren't necessarily the same things. And I don't want to overblow what I talked about in the Edge site. But I do care about the state of science quite a bit. Science covers a wide variety of topics, and some of them that we hear about in the news quite a bit, of course, have to do with things that we should be concerned about. We should be concerned, whether or not we understand the details, we should be concerned about issues of climate and energy. I mean, these are going to be important in the future. I can't tell you exactly which day it's going to matter, but we know that they will be important, and to the extent that we can, we should be prepared for them. Of course, also just basic scientific discoveries. I am a high-energy particle theorist. I think about what's out there in the universe, what's in space, and what is the nature of elementary particles. The Higgs boson was discovered this year, or at least a Higgs boson, a new particle. That's extremely exciting, but it's not the end of the story. And I am concerned that we won't be able to complete that story if we don't achieve the necessary energies, the necessary intensities that might be required. We don't know what the answers are. We do have a very good idea that there's something there to be discovered, but I do want hope that we actually have the wherewithal to go ahead and discover it.
An appropriate sense of worry for large particles and extremely small particles. Lisa Randall, professor of physics at Harvard University and author of the book Knocking on Heaven's Door and the new ebook Higgs Discovery, The Power of Empty Space. Lisa, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So continuing in this vein, joining us now, Murali Doraiswamy, professor of psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center and Duke Institute for Brain Sciences. Professor, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So what are you worried about? And no positive spin, please. Just give us the hard, cold facts.
Well, the main thing that I'm worried about is, we focus too much on wealth, raising GDP as the only sort of indicators, if you will, as a proxy for prosperity and happiness. We don't really focus on mental well-being and wellness until some kind of a mass event like a mass shooting occurs. And I worry that that's too late and too sort of reactive.
How do you create an environment to be vigilant about wellness and quality of life without, I don't know, sounding like Dr. Oz or something like that?
I think we need a national plan. We focus a lot on economic indicators. You know, President Obama, rightly so, I think, has a council of economic advisors. Maybe it's time to be thinking about a council of psychological advisors to really relook at everything from the bottom up. Instead of being reactive, I think we really need to measure, prosperity in ways that other countries do, such as Asia, for example. And really, we've become too dependent on medications instead of building resilience.
And as a psychiatrist or a professor of psychiatry, can you analyze complicated systems like U.S. society, the nation in psychiatric terms and determine whether there's dysfunction or, you know, anomalous behavior here and there, in a sense that you can actually develop corrective action?
I think so. It's not been tried in the U.S. at that level, but certainly other countries have taken on this approach. I think Great Britain, France, Bhutan has developed what we call as a national happiness index. You know, one measure of how well we're succeeding or not succeeding is simply the rates at which mental illnesses are growing and the number of Americans who are on medication. You know, by my latest estimate, something like 40 million people in the U.S. are on psychiatric medication. And I've even read reports that many sources of public water supply, such as large lakes in the U.S., actually have measurable levels of things like Prozac and Zoloft, which I'm not sure that that's a good sign.
And that's just an indication that so many people are using it and, you know, sort of transporting it into the environment, and that that will have an impact on the environment itself.
Yes, but it also indicates that a lot of us have become dependent on medications, and perhaps we're not, you know, as happy as the economic indicators would like to have us believe.
So from your perspective as a sort of big picture thinker here, you see the rise of mental illness in the United States and the number of people taking medications for chronic mental conditions of one kind or another is a gigantic societal cry for help.
It is. And even worse than that, I think the American view of what is a normal human mind and what is an abnormal mind is now being exported to other countries and being seen as the norm. You know, our way of classifying mental illnesses, first of all, is by no means the gold standard. I think there are a number of studies that have shown that symptoms fluctuate. And two given individuals with the same diagnosis, for example, of clinical depression might have an entirely different presentation. And now a number of countries, you know, such as Japan, are starting to sort of import these U.S. criteria. And partly it's because global pharmaceutical companies see the American criteria as a nice tool by which to export medication.
Let's just think sort of large scale for a moment here. If this is a cry for help and what we need is a way of sort of measuring our happiness and state of affairs, you know, we did a whole series last week on technology and developments of technology, and we got lots of responses from people who said, look, technology is not the answer to anything. We're not more connected. We're less connected. We're not more free. We're more enslaved. Something has to stop here. It's unsustainable. Is that how you're viewing this sort of notion of progress in the United States right now?
Yes, it's a, you know, technology is a double-edged sword. Anything that makes us sort of more independent and less connected to others, I think, is a bad thing. You know, the American society is a classic example of a very independent society, whereas Asian cultures are very interdependent, where the wellness of the society as a whole is seen as greater value than the wellness of an individual. It's kind of interesting that, you know, there's only one alphabet that differs between meditation and medication.
You mean there's one letter
one letter.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's a whole different view of society, you know, the inward view versus the outward view.
Murali Dharaswamy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Murali Dharaswamy is professor of psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center and Duke Institute for Brain Sciences. So there you have it, the State of the Union in a hyper-local view and a hyper-universal view there. More of all that all this week. Earlier in the show, we discussed the resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. You've plenty to say on that subject. Aaron wrote on Facebook, it's time for a black pope or maybe a Hispanic one. Your thoughts, please, at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, wishing you all a happy year of the snake. This is The Takeaway.